We'll read Isopanishad, mantra and translation together, all of them, page 17, 17. We'll read together.
Ishavasyamidam sarvam yat kincha jagatyam jagat tena tyakte na bhunjita makrudha kasya svidhanam.
Everything animate or inanimate that is within this universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. One should therefore accept only those things necessary for himself which are set aside as his quota, and one should not accept other things knowing well to whom they belong. Page 23.
Kurvan eveha karmani jiji vishechatam samah evam tvai nanyadhe dosti na karma lipyate nare.
One may aspire to live for hundreds of years if he continuously goes on working in that way, for that sort of work will not bind him to the law of karma. There is no alternative to this way for man. Page 29.
Asuryana mate loka andhena tamasa vrita tamste pretya bhigachanti yeke chatmahano jana.
The killer of the soul, whoever he may be, must enter into the planets known as the worlds of the faithless, full of darkness and ignorance. 33.
Anejadekam manaso javiyo naina devapnuvan purvamarshat tadhavatonyanatyetitishthat tasmin napumatarishvadadhati.
Although fixed in his abode, the personality of Godhead is swifter than the mind and can overcome all others running. The powerful demigods cannot approach him. Although in one place, he controls those who supply the air and rain. He surpasses all in excellence. 37.
Tad ejati tannaijati taddure tadvantike tadantar asya sarvasya tadu sarvasyasya bahyatah.
The Supreme Lord walks and does not walk. He is far away, but he is very near as well. He is within everything, and yet he is outside of everything. 43.
Yastu sarvani bhutani atmanyevanupasyati sarvabhuteshu chatmanam tato na vijugupsate.
He who sees everything in relation to the Supreme Lord, who sees all living entities as his parts and parcels, and who sees the Supreme Lord within everything, never hates anything or any being. Page 49.
Yasmin sarvani bhutani atmaiva bhudvijanatah tatrako mohaka shoka ekatvam anupasyatah.
One who always sees all living entities as spiritual sparks in quality one with the Lord becomes a true knower of things. What then can be illusion or anxiety for him? Text, page 55.
Saparyagat chukramakayam abranam asnaviram suddham apapavidham kavirmanishi paribhu svayambhur yadhatadhyatordhan vyadadachasvati vyasamabhyah.
Such a person must factually know the greatest of all, the personality of Godhead, who is unembodied, omniscient, beyond reproach, without veins, pure and uncontaminated, the self-sufficient philosopher, and who has been fulfilling everyone's desire since time immemorial. Text, page 63.
Andham tamah pravishanti ye vidyam upasate tato bhuya ivate tamo ya u vidyayam rataha.
Those who engage in the culture of nascent activities shall enter into the darkest region of ignorance. Worse still are those engaged in the culture of so-called knowledge. 69.
Anyad evahur vidyaya anyad ahur avidyaya iti sushrumadhiranam yenastad vichachakshire.
The wise have explained that one result is derived from the culture of knowledge, and that a different result is obtained from the culture of nations.
Vidyam cha vidyam chayas tadvedo bhayam saha avidyayam mrutyum tirtva vidyayam mrutamasnute.
Only one who can learn the process of nations and that of transcendental knowledge side by side can transcend the influence of repeated birth and death and enjoy the full blessings of immortality. 83.
Andham tamah pravishanti ye sambhutim upasate tato bhuya ivate tamo yau sambhutyam rataha.
Those who are engaged in the worship of demigods enter into the darkest region of ignorance, and still more so do the worshippers of the impersonal absolute. 91.
Anyad evahu sambhavad anyad ahur asambhavad iti sushruma dhiranam yenastad vichachakshire.
It is said that one result is obtained by worshipping the supreme cause of all causes, and that another result is obtained by worshipping what is not supreme. All this is heard from the undisturbed authorities, who clearly explained it. Page 101.
Sambhutim cha vinasham cha yastad vedo bhayam saha vinashena mrutyum tirtva sambhutyam mrutamashnute.
One should know perfectly the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna and his transcendental name, form, qualities and pastimes, as well as the temporary material creation with its temporary demigods, men and animals. When one knows these, he surpasses death and the ephemeral cosmic manifestation with it. And in the eternal kingdom of God, he enjoys his eternal life of bliss and knowledge.
Hiranmayena patrena satyasya pihitam mukham tatvam pushan apavrunu satya dharmaya drishtaye.
O my Lord, sustainer of all that lives, your real face is covered by your dazzling effulgence. Kindly remove that covering and exhibit yourself to your pure devotee.
Pushan nikarshe yama surya prajapatya vyuharasmin samuha tejo yatte rupam kalyana tamam tatte pasyami yosavaso purushasoham asmi.
O my Lord, O primeval philosopher, maintainer of the universe, O regulating principle, destination of the pure devotees, well-wisher of the progenitors of mankind, please remove the effulgence of your transcendental rays so that I can see your form of bliss. You are the eternal supreme personality of Godhead, like unto the sun, as am I.
Vayur anilam amrutam adhedam bhasmantam shariram om kratosmara kritam smara kratosmara kritam smara.
Let this temporary body be burnt to ashes and let the air of life be merged with the totality of air. Now, O my Lord, please remember all my sacrifices, and because you are the ultimate beneficiary, please remember all that I have done for you.
Agne naya supatha raye asman vishwani deva vayunan vidvan yodhiyas madjuhuranam ayeno bhuyishtham te namauktim vidhema.
O my Lord, as powerful as fire, O omnipotent one, now I offer you all obeisances, falling on the ground at your feet. O my Lord, please lead me on the right path to reach you, and since you know all that I have done in the past, please free me from the reactions to my past sins so that there will be no hindrance to my progress. So we will read one verse in detail. Any preference? Any preference of the verse in Isopanishad? That is 13 or something.
Hiranmayena patrena satyasya pihitam mukham tatvam pushan apavrunu satya dharmaya drishtaye.
Word by word translation. Please repeat.
Hiranmayena.
By a golden effulgence.
Patrena.
By a dazzling covering.
Satyasya.
Of the supreme truth.
Apihitam.
Covered. Mukham. The face.
Tat.
That covering.
Tvam.
Yourself.
Pushan.
O sustainer.
Apavrinu.
Kindly remove.
Satya.
Pure.
Dharmaya.
Unto the devotee,
drishtaye,
for exhibiting. O my Lord, sustainer of all that lives, your real face is covered by your dazzling effulgence. Kindly remove that covering and exhibit yourself to your pure devotee. Please repeat. O my Lord, sustainer of all that lives, your real face is covered by your dazzling effulgence. Kindly remove that covering and exhibit yourself to your pure devotee. Purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In the Bhagavad Gita 14:27, the Lord explains his personal rays, the dazzling effulgence of his personal form, in this way.
Brahmano hi pratishtaham amrutasya vyayasya cha shashvatasya cha dharmasya sukasya ikantikasya cha.
I am the basis of the impersonal Brahman, which is immortal, imperishable and eternal, and is the constitutional position of ultimate happiness. Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan are three aspects of the same absolute truth. Brahman is the aspect most easily perceived by the beginner. Paramatma, the super soul, is realized by those who have further progressed. And Bhagavan realization is the ultimate realization of the absolute truth. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 7:7, where Lord Krishna says that he is the ultimate concept of the absolute truth.
Mattah parataram nanya kinchidasti dhananjaya mai sarvam idam pravutam sutre manigana iva.
Therefore, Krishna is the source of the Brahma Jyoti as well as the all-pervading Paramatma. Later, in the Bhagavad Gita 10:42, Krishna further explains,
Athava bahunaitena kim gnatena tavarjuna vistabhyaham idam kritsnam ekam shena sthito jagat.
But what need is there, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. Thus, by his one plenary expansion, the all-pervading Paramatma, the Lord, maintains the complete material cosmic creation. He also maintains all manifestations in the spiritual world. Therefore, in this Shruti Mantra of Sri Isopanishad, the Lord is addressed as Pushan, the ultimate maintainer. In this, actually, he also maintains maintains all manifestations in the spiritual world. There is a verse in chapter 7 in which Krishna says, he is the source of all spiritual and material energies. I think that same something is being spoken. 7.4 I think can refer to it.
Yeah.
Etad yonini bhutani sarvani iti upadarayaham krishnasya jagatah prabhavah pralayastada. It's page 329 but the English is in 330.
Etad yonini bhutani sarvani iti upadarayaham krishnasya jagatah prabhavah pralayastada.
All created beings have their source in these two natures. Of all that is material and all that is spiritual in this world, know for certain that I am both the origin and the dissolution. So the same thing is being maintained. He also maintains all manifestations in the spiritual world. Therefore, in this Shruti Mantra of Sri Isopanishad, we are back to Isopanishad, the Lord is addressed as Pushan, the ultimate maintainer. The personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is always filled with transcendental bliss. Anandamayo Bhyasat. When he was present at Vrindavana in India 5,000 years ago, he always remained in transcendental bliss, even from the beginning of his childhood pastimes. The killings of various demons such as Agha, Baka, Putana and Pralamba were but pleasure excursions for him. In his village of Vrindavana, he enjoyed himself with his mother, brother and friends, and when he played the role of a naughty butter thief, all his associates enjoyed celestial bliss by his stealing. The Lord's fame as a butter thief is not reproachable, for by stealing butter, the Lord gave pleasure to his pure devotees. Everything the Lord did in Vrindavana was for the pleasure of his associates there. The Lord created these pastimes to attract the dry speculators and the acrobats of the so-called Hatha Yoga system who wish to find the absolute truth. Any comments so far? Any questions? So this Hatha Yoga system, if I'm not mistaken, is in detail mentioned by Lord Krishna in chapter 6. He explains various kinds of yoga procedures, how to perform this yoga practice by sitting in a particular way, going to a particular place in the forest. So Arjuna says that it is not possible for him to do that kind of practice in this age. So he rejects that kind of practice, frankly. But at the end of the 6th chapter, Krishna says that Yoginama Pisarvesham Madgatena Antaratmana Shraddha Van Bhajate Yomam Same Yukta Tamomataha. So of all the yogis, be he a karma yogi or jnana yogi or hatha yogi or performing what kind of yoga practice, the one who is in Krishna consciousness, who is always thinking of me, who is always thinking of him, so he is the best. So the same thing actually is Prabhupada is stressing here. The dry speculators mean the jnana yogis who try to speculate about the absolute truth, and the hatha yogis are the actual yogis who try to do the yoga system by practice of postures and breathing techniques. So he is saying that the pure devotees are beyond these jnana and hatha yoga and dhyana yoga systems. Of the childhood play between the Lord and his playmates, the cowherd boy Sukadeva Goswami says in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.12.11, Itam satam brahma sukhanubhutya dasyam gatanam paradaivatena maya stitanam naradarakena shakam vijahruh krita punya punja. The personality of Godhead, who is perceived as the impersonal, blissful Brahman by the jnanis, who is worshipped as the Supreme Lord by devotees in the mood of servitorship, and who is considered an ordinary human being by mundane people, played with the cowherd boys who had attained their position after accumulating many pious activities. Thus the Lord is always engaged in transcendental loving activities with his spiritual associates in the various relationships of shanta, neutrality, dasya, servitorship, sakya, friendship, vatsalya, parental affection, and madhurya, conjugal love. Can anyone quote an example for shanta relation? Like practically, what do you mean by shanta relation with the Lord? Does anyone have example? No, sorry.
In the Shanta Rasa, there isn't much activity. In fact, even the meditators who meditate on Paramatma in their heart, and when they develop a clear realization of the Lord and His feature like that, then they may become attracted in this mood of just adoring His personality without becoming actively involved in a relationship of service or friendship. Mm-hmm. It's kind of neutrality is characterized by the absence of these other rasas, really. Mm. And so the sometimes the animals and vegetation life in Krishna's lila are experiencing a rasa like that with him in a very neutral way, not being actively engaged in his service or his pastime. So
that was a revelation to me, Prahlad Maharaj in Shantara. I was thinking he's dasya or something.
There may be some overlapping, because with the prayers he offers, he talks a lot about remembrance, but he doesn't talk a lot about, you know, his engagement in active service that I know. I've seen him referred to as an example of a devotee in Shanta Rasa.
Yes, four Kumaras.
Four Kumaras are explained as example for Shanta Rasa in one of Rupa's books because they adore the Lord. and they are not, they doesn't come under the other four categories, so they come under Shantarasa.
Yeah, and actually I was listening to one Prabhupada's lecture, and Prabhupada was just giving a mundane practical example what it means to be having a Shantarasa relation. So he was saying, I'm sitting on my asana, Vyasasana, or the chair, and it is giving me service. It's giving me silent service. So there is service in Shantarasa. So that is called Shantarasa. So there is no more exchange of any feeling, or but it is silently giving service. So that is one mundane example. I was really struck. Whenever we talk about Shantarasa, we'll just think about a devotee trying to find an example in that sort of way. But I was amazed at how Prabhupada extends this philosophy into every aspect of practical life.
Without any kind of fruitive activity can be Shantarasa then?
Yeah, whenever you are serving Supreme, there is no question of fruitive activity, isn't it?
I mean, not looking for any kind of material benefit or anything else.
You mean serving Supreme at the same time looking for material benefit?
No, what I'm saying is without any kind of material benefit, any kind of fruitive activity, then that we can call for Shantarasa, right?
Yeah, definitely. So it is a service attitude that is defining which rasa or the feeling with which you are doing. If you are serving in the mood of a conjugal lover, or as a parent, if you are worshipping Krishna as a child and then taking care of his need, then that is in Vatsalya rasa. But your motive could be different. You may be serving just to serve the Supreme without expectation of result, or with expectation of result. But in either case, you are still serving with that relation.
I think Kishore made the point very well that we're talking among these rasas, completely pure devotees who are free from any motive of wanting anything in return, they may be situated in any one of these rasas. And that the Shanta rasa is, it's not that it's more pure than the Dasya or Vatsalya or Shakya or Madhurya rasa, but it's actually less blissful because it is not characterized by that much of an active personal relationship. But all of the pure devotees are free from fruitive motive. I think that's what Prabhuji was saying.
Yeah, and so likewise we can quote examples for Dasya. I think Dasya example could be given of Hanuman is in Dasya Rasa. Any other examples in Dasya Rasa?
Garuda. Daruka, who drives the Krishna's chariot and takes care of the horses. There are many, many, servants, people who, offered service to Krishna in different ways. Florist who came and when Krishna came to Mathura and so forth.
And similarly, Sakya friendship, of course, we have all these cowherd boys, Subal, Sridham, all these people. Arjuna, yes, Arjuna is also in friendship. Uddhava, and then Vatsalya, parental affection, of course, classical example of Yashoda, Mother Yashoda. And Krishna is so kind that he treated Utana as his mother when she tried to give her milk with the actual intention of, killing him. So he's so kind that he actually gave her the position of his mother in Golok Vrindavan, just because of that little service. And then, of course, the highest of all is Madhurya Rasa. And it is also said that the Madhurya Rasa contains everything else in it. And similarly, the Vatsalya Rasa will contain the Sakya, Dasya, and Danta in it. And similarly, the one lower to it contains everything else lower to that. So Madhurya Rasa is considered to be the highest one. And we'll continue on the Isopanishad. You're on the second paragraph on page 112. Since it is said that Lord Krishna never leaves Vrindavan Dham, one may ask how he manages the affairs of the creation. This is answered in the Bhagavad Gita 13.14-18. The Lord pervades the entire material creation by his plenary part known as the Paramatma or Super Soul. Although the Lord personally has nothing to do with material creation, maintenance and destruction, he causes all these things to be done by his plenary expansion, the Paramatma. Every living entity is known as Atma, Soul, and the principal Atma who controls them all is Paramatma, the Super Soul. So this how he manages the affairs of creation even though he never leaves Vrindavan. This is also mentioned in another place in Bhagavad Gita, apart from chapter 13, which is being mentioned here. Even though it's mentioned not so elaborately as it is mentioned in chapter 13, it is also elsewhere mentioned. It's in 9th chapter, Maya Tatam Idam Sarvam Jagat. Maya Jakshyan is 10th verse, I think 9th chapter also covers the same things. Krishna says that in my unmanifested form, I am pervaded throughout the entire universe. And although I am the maintainer and although I am situated everywhere, I am not part of this cosmic manifestation. So there are the Paramatma aspect is covered there, as well as the maintaining of all the living entities is covered, as well as he's saying that he's aloof from them. So he's saying that he's situated in Vrindavan. So the same point is also mentioned there. Although I am maintaining them, them, I'm not part of this cosmic manifestation. I still have my separate identity. Yeah. So it's good to know that the same important points are mentioned in different parts of Bhagavad Gita. It's good to collect and then remember them. This system of God realization is a great science. The materialistic Sankhya yogis can only analyze and meditate on the 24 factors of the material creation, for they have very little information of the Purusha, the Lord. And the impersonal transcendentalists are simply bewildered by the glaring effulgence of the Brahma Jyoti. If one wants to see the absolute truth in full, one has to penetrate beyond the 24 material elements and the glaring effulgence as well. Sri Isopanishad points toward this direction, praying for the removal of the Hiranmaya Patrena, the dazzling covering of the Lord. Unless this covering is removed, so one can perceive the real face of this personality of Godhead, factual realization of the absolute truth can never be achieved. Actually, I was reading yesterday, second chapter, Bhagavad Gita, and Prabhupada mentions about a Sankhya philosophy propounded by atheist Kapila. He mentions that there are two kinds of Sankhya philosophies. Actually, in verse 39, Krishna says that in second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he says that he has so far explained this philosophy of spirit soul in terms of understanding through analytical knowledge, like what is constituency of the soul, how it acts, how it is affected by any weapon or something. So all this analytical knowledge, he is calling it as Sankhya. At the same place, Prabhupada is explaining that the original Sankhya philosophy was actually given by Lord Kapila in Bhagavatam to his mother Devahuti. And he also brings up a point where some imposters or some false propagandists, they bring this imposter Kapila into picture when they are projecting this Sankhya philosophy. But Prabhupada clearly delineates the difference between the actual imposter Kapila Sankhya and the actual Sankhya philosophy which is being talked about here in this paragraph. We are in page 113. The Paramatma feature of the personality of Godhead is one of the three plenary expansions, or Vishnu Tattvas, collectively known as the Purusha Avataras. One of these Vishnu Tattvas, who is within the universe, is known as Kshirodaka Sai Vishnu. He is the Vishnu among the three principal deities, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, and he is the all-pervading Paramatma in each and every individual living entity. The second Vishnu Tattva within the universe is Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, the collective supersoul of all living entities. Beyond these two is Karanodaka Sai Vishnu, who lies in the causal ocean. He is the creator of all universes. The yoga system teaches the serious student to meet the Vishnu Tattvas after going beyond the 24 material elements of the cosmic creation. The culture of empiric philosophy helps one realize the impersonal Brahma Jyoti, which is the glaring effulgence of the transcendental body of Sri Krishna. That the Brahma Jyoti is Krishna's effulgence is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 14:27 as well as the Brahma Samhita 5:40. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagadanda koti koti svasesha vasudhadi vibhuti bhinnam yat tad brahma nishkalam anantam asesha bhutam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. In the millions and millions of universes, there are innumerable planets, and each and every one of them is different from the others by its cosmic constitution. All of these planets are situated in a corner of the Brahma Jyoti. This Brahma Jyoti is but the personal rays of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, whom I worship. This mantra from the Brahma Samhita is spoken from the platform of factual realization of the absolute truth, and the Shruti mantra of Sri Isopanishad under discussion confirms this mantra as a process of realization. The Isopanishad mantra is a simple prayer to the Lord to remove this Brahma Jyoti so that one can see his real face. This Brahma Jyoti effulgence is described in detail in several mantras of the Mundaka Upanishad 2.2.10-12. Hiranmaye pare koshe virajam brahmanishkalam tachubram jyotisham jyotis tadyad atma vido viduhu na tatra suryo bhati na chandra tarakam nema vidyuto bhanti kuto yam agnihi tameva bhantam anubhati sarvam tasya bhasa sarvam idam vibhati brahmai vedam amrutam purastad brahma paschad brahma dakshinatas chottarena adhas chodvam cha prasrutam brahmai vedam vishvam idam varishtam. In the spiritual realm, beyond the material covering, is the unlimited Brahman effulgence, which is free from material contamination. That effulgent white light is understood by transcendentalists to be the light of all lights. In that realm, there is no need of sunshine, moonshine, fire, or electricity for illumination. Indeed, whatever illumination appears in the material world is only a reflection of that supreme illumination. That Brahman is in front and in back, in the north, south, east and west, and also overhead and below. In other words, that supreme Brahman effulgence spreads throughout both the material and spiritual skies. Perfect knowledge means knowing Krishna as the root of this Brahman effulgence. This knowledge can be gained from such scriptures as Srimad Bhagavatam, which perfectly elaborates the science of Krishna. In Srimad Bhagavatam, the author Srila Vyasadeva has established that one will describe the supreme truth as Brahman, Paramatma or Bhagavan according to one's realization of him. Srila Vyasadeva never states that the supreme truth is a jiva, an ordinary living entity. The living entity should never be considered the all-powerful supreme truth. If he were the supreme, he would not need to pray to the Lord to remove his dazzling cover so that the living entity could see his real face. So the Mayavadis, they project that Krishna is like an ordinary jiva and the absolute truth is impersonal. So when the absolute truth, Krishna comes, when the Krishna comes as a human being, he is under the spell of Maya. And so that's the point Srila Prabhupada is trying to refute here. Because if Krishna is considered an ordinary jiva, or absolute truth is considered an ordinary jiva, then there is no point for, or the jiva is considered every ordinary living entity is considered absolute truth, then there is no point for jiva to pray to the absolute truth to remove the covering. So very subtle point, but Prabhupada keeps bringing out in various purports, and these will help us understand the difference between Mayavada philosophy and the actual philosophy. The conclusion is that one who has no knowledge of the potencies of the supreme truth will realize the impersonal Brahman. Similarly, when one realizes the material potencies of the Lord but has little or no information of the spiritual potencies, he attains Paramatma realization. Thus, both Brahman and Paramatma realization of the absolute truth are partial realizations. However, when one realizes the supreme personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, in full potency after the removal of the Hiranmaya Patra, one realizes Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Lord Sri Krishna, who is known as Vasudeva, is everything, Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. He is Bhagavan, the root, and Brahman and Paramatma are his branches. In the Bhagavad Gita 6:46-47, there is a comparative analysis of the three types of transcendentalists: the worshippers of the impersonal Brahman, Jnanis; the worshippers of the Paramatma feature, Yogis; and the devotees of Lord Sri Krishna, Bhaktas. It is stated there that the Jnanis, those who have cultivated Vedic knowledge, are better than ordinary fruitive workers, that the Yogis are still greater than the Jnanis, and that among all Yogis, those who constantly serve the Lord with all their energies are the topmost. In summary, a philosopher is better than a laboring man, a mystic is superior to a philosopher, and of all the mystic Yogis, He who follows Bhakti Yoga, constantly engaging in the service of the Lord, is the highest. Sri Isopanishad directs us towards this perfection. Anyone remembers that 6:46-47? 6:47 of you're right. Tapasvibhyodhiko yogi is, we are on page 316. Tapasvibhyodhiko yogi jnanibhyopi matodhikaha karmibhyaschadhiko yogi tasmad yogi bhavarjuna. Yogi is greater than the ascetic, greater than the empiricist, and greater than the fruitive worker. Therefore, O Arjuna, in all circumstances, be a yogi. So actually, here itself, Krishna is saying that the yogi is greater than, he doesn't tell what kind of yogi though. He is just giving a hint that who is practicing yoga or control of senses and concentrating on the union with the Supreme, he is better than the ascetic. Or the ascetic is, how can we define ascetic? Ascetic is the one who tries to follow austerities, or it is trying to, you know, this yogic postures. Is that the, is he called ascetic? Just austerities. Renunciation. Tapas. So he's really not a yogi. He's just trying to attain something by means of something material, by means of doing that.
Part of the Raja Yoga system to give up all material attachments. And by the Gita, Krishna is talking about how, you know, in the beginning it's by work, but then when one is advanced and one has attained yoga rupa, then one mentally renounces the sankalpas, the desires. So, but asceticism literally means that practice of austerities and abstinence from sense enjoyment, fasting, and renunciation.
So a yogi is greater than the ascetic, greater than the empiricist. So empiricist is referring to jnanis, I think, and greater than the fruity workers. And of course, this is karmis. Therefore, O Arjuna, in all circumstances, become a yogi. Yeah, let's read that. So when we speak of yoga, we are reading the purport on page 317. When we speak of yoga, we refer to linking our consciousness with the Supreme Absolute Truth. Such a process is named differently by various practitioners in terms of the particular method adopted. When the linking process is predominantly in fruitive activities, it is called Karma Yoga. When it is predominantly empirical, it is called Jnana Yoga. And when it is predominantly in a devotional relationship with the Supreme Lord, it is called Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga or Krishna Consciousness is the ultimate perfection of all yogas, as will be explained in the next verse. The Lord has confirmed herein the superiority of yoga, but He has not mentioned that it is better than Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga is full spiritual knowledge, and therefore nothing can excel it. Asceticism without self-knowledge is imperfect. Empiric knowledge without surrender to the Supreme Lord is also imperfect, and fruitive work without Krishna consciousness is a waste of time. Therefore, the most highly praised form of yoga performance mentioned here is Bhakti Yoga, and this is still more clearly explained in the next verse. So when Krishna says that a yogi is greater than all these people, he is referring to actually a Bhakti Yogi, because an ascetic who is also practicing yoga can technically be called a yogi. But I think So what Prabhupada is saying is, this verse is talking about those people who are just blindly practicing this asceticism without cultivation of yoga, or who are practicing cultivation of empiric knowledge without understanding that purpose is to realize the Supreme, without aiming towards understanding the Supreme. And he's talking about fruitive workers who are just working for their sense gratification without trying to attain the Supreme. So Krishna is saying a yogi who is trying to understand the Supreme Absolute Truth, or yoga literally means connection with the union with the Supreme. So he is better than these empirical philosophers, empiricist or ascetic or fruitive worker. But in the next verse we can see that actually what kind of yoga is the best one.